Festival season here in Tallahassee. The Des Moines Chamber Parks Art Festival is coming up. I've got Powell Kreese. She is the festival manager. And Jim Sheridan. He is the cover artist for this year's festival. So we're going to talk with the two of them. And then in the second hour, we're going to talk about the war on poverty with Tim Center. A conversation we had some time ago. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Welcome again to another exciting edition, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the show that brings you what Tallahassee is talking about this week in some measure, fashion, or form. Pleased to be able to bring you Powell Kreese and Jim Sheridan. They're a remarkable couple of people who are at the center of bringing this 21st annual Chain of Parks Art Festival back online, as we'd say, back to front and center, with understandably modifications and accommodations courtesy of, you know, CDC guidelines and the city of Tallahassee and all that. Everybody, I think, doing their best to try to get along here and make it work. But I'll say that if you're planning on attending the festival, you've got to make sure you get tickets. The way that the city is handling this, and they're doing this for not only Chain of Parks Art Festival, but Word of South, and I'm sure all of the other festivals as well, the tickets are a matter of crowd control, right? So they're trying to manage reasonably and safely the number of those people that will be in attendance, just kind of the same way that you've seen at a lot of sporting events around the country. We've been watching, you know, the March Madness games, and the Seminoles, God bless them, did their very best until they met a team called Michigan. Well, didn't kind of go the way we all hoped it would. But in any case, my point is, you look into those stands and you're going to see, yeah, limited crowds. Well, it's the same story here, except that we all have to be a little bit more responsible, I suppose, and self-governed in that we are going to be, you know, meandering about. All of that to be discovered, but it won't happen if you don't get your ticket. Okay, so you got to go to chainofparks.com, and that way you can have your ticket either on your phone or you can print it out. And when you show that ticket, you're going to get a wristband that says, yep, I belong here, I'm coming in. And they'll have, they're going to have hundreds of participating artists from around the region, some local and many national, like our guest here, our first guest of the show today, Jim Sheridan. What a treasure he is. And what they do every year is select a cover artist. And that simply refers to the fact that they feature artwork from that cover artist on all of their marketing, particularly the cover of their official program, printed program for the festival, right? And in that program, you have all the information about the artist and, you know, jazz, all that stuff goes into this printing. Well, here comes Jim Sheridan, who for a number of years has been providing his artwork and doing artwork for others as a printer, doing woodblock prints and such for people like B.B. King and Bruce Springsteen and folks. I mean, he's been out there, highly recognized and well-published, as a matter of fact, people writing about his work in a number of high-profile publications over the years. So that's Jim Sheridan. He's going to be with us then in this first hour, standing by. What else can I tell you? A couple of news announcements for your good. They're a bit more mundane, but vital. It happens that Leon County has launched an emergency assistance program. This was announced earlier in the week, last Tuesday the 30th. This emergency assistance program can provide up to 15 months of rent and utility assistance for income-eligible applicants. If you've been economically impacted by COVID-19, everybody raise your hand. Okay, you may be eligible for critical financial support. So this is aimed specifically at the business community. And let's see here. According to our records, your City of Tallahassee utility account currently carries an outstanding balance, which now makes your account subject to disconnect. Well, that doesn't sound good. If you need financial assistance to address your bill, visit Leon County Cares to apply for these federal funds today. Funds are limited. So in other words, what they're telling you is, if you find yourself delayed status or delinquent status with your utility bill, well, Leon County is seeing that. The City of Tallahassee is seeing that. And they're saying, well, look, we're not going to cut you off. We want to help you. So if you're in that situation, you make a utility payment by visiting talgov.com and then /you, as in Y-O-U, and that will show you there a variety of ways for you to make payment on your utility bill. Okay, all that, I hope, is helpful, good information for you and for me. Yeah, if you're a business owner and it's been tough, no doubt, and you're struggling to make payment on a utility bill, you certainly don't need that to deal with any further. So kudos to our city and county government officials for making that come about. I would also like to tell you that in this time of the year, as of April the 1st every year, we kick off our Tallahassee Food Challenge campaign. And many people oftentimes think of it as a food drive or that it's a direct assistance program, which it is not. We don't certainly discourage anyone from giving to any of the food charities. In fact, that is sort of the point of the whole campaign itself, is to say, give generously and give often to Catholic Charities or ECHO or Second Harvest, all of these that are listed and many more on our official Tallahassee Food Challenge website. And you can find it at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Therein, thereupon, you'll find a list of various items that you can donate in addition to food. But in particular, food is a big deal, of course, and cash donations, especially when you're giving money to Second Harvest, because they have the buying power. So your $10 actually buys $40 worth of food. It's a 4-to-1 ratio. Well, that's pretty strong. So the Tallahassee Food Challenge is brought to you by local businesses, Gain Street Pies, Whitten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Truck and Car Concepts there on Mahan Drive, Sellers Tile over on Capitol Circle. These are the companies that put up the money to pay for all of the TV and radio, outdoor advertising, the print, the social media, the web, All of this to do one very basic thing, and that is to remind us that especially at this time of year, and especially in the wake of what has been a massive impact on school systems, kids who otherwise rely on those school lunches and breakfasts in many cases, they're not getting it. So then the pressure comes on the food charities even more so than they normally would experience. So their food supplies begin to reach a sort of critical state. And it's more important now than ever that we give generously. If you can give a bag of groceries, if you can get $10, whatever you can do, make sure you do it today and make it part of your weekly giving. Just do it. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The 21st Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming up Saturday and Sunday, April 17 and 18, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fine art from over 100 national artists. Keeping the health and safety of the community a top priority, this year's festival will be a free limited ticket event that will follow safety protocols. The Chain of Parks Art Festival, April 17 and 18, located downtown along Park Avenue. Presented by Mad Dog Construction, City of Tallahassee, Leon County Visit Tallahassee, and CRA. Secure your ticket now and learn more at chainofparks.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The 21st Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming up Saturday and Sunday, April 17th and 18th from 10 to 5, with fine art from over 100 national artists. This year is even more spentabulous because they have been able to secure this rather celebrated artist, Jim Sheridan. He is with us as our guest this morning. Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Brian, and thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. We're going to tell you a little bit about Jim and his work. I also have Powell Kreese. How are you, Powell?
I'm hanging in there.
I was going to say, and you know, the bandages give it away. You know, she's got a sling. No, I'm teasing. But this has got to be one for the books when you think about all that you're having to accommodate, like everybody else. But when you try to do a festival, and it's all sort of counter to the narrative right now. Everybody stay away from each other. Oh, but for this, yeah, we got to come together.
Yes.
We're going to get into some of the mechanics of that. Folks, if you don't know Jim Sheridan, you need to. Let me tell you that, we could spend a lot of time talking about the portfolio there, but he is the 2021 cover artist for this year's festival. Now, what does that mean, Powell?
So it means that each year we select a cover artist that is, we select a piece that we'll do all of our marketing with.
So all the
posters and the program, it all features their artwork, and they get a special booth in the festival.
How cool is that? So Jim, you get your own special booth. You hear that?
I think I requested 4,000 helium blues. They're only giving me 2,000, cutting corners.
It's that way this year. Sorry, Jim, it's that way. As long as your booth has a little hibachi maybe in a wet bar, that'd be cool. Or some snacks.
I'll deliver the art by drone. I took left.
I love that. As the cover artist, Jim is going to be celebrated in a lot of this work, as you've said, Powell, through the various marketing and such. He will, of course, be at the festival. Now, let me tell you, he is a Kansas native, a Kansian, but he has been a resident of Nashville for now a number of years, almost, 43 years, it looks like, or 44 years. Back in 97, you moved to Nashville. Why'd you do that?
How did I get to Nashville? I might as well have told my parents I'm going to the moon. I gave my poems/song lyrics to the band for Waylon Jennings, who was playing in my college dusky town out in western Kansas, and they moved me to Nashville, and I ended up working here for him and another entertainer and producer. Went back to college down in Tennessee so I could stay in the family will, coming from a family of educators, and found this incredible show poster company called Hatch Show Print in 1984, turned it into a destination for letterpress enthusiasts. It historically did all the vaudeville circus minstrel posters, string band, bluegrass, rock band, country, and it was on its last legs. And I have always enjoyed history, and it got me to where I could cut my blocks commercially. I did so many different projects. Walked into that place when I was 26 years old, and in typical letterpress, everything's in reverse fashion. I walked out when I was 62, no asterisk to my name, gave everybody a deep pre-COVID hug, and continued this career, which I'll bring down so graciously being asked to come to Tallahassee and Chain of Parks.
In that regard, you have a connection with Tallahassee. I don't think this is your first appearance here, is it?
No, and I'm glad to say it's not with the sheriff. I have no bail bondsman in Leon County, but I do have an older brother and sister-in-law and a couple of nephews. All of them I adore. He's a great big brother. He's wonderful. He was an endocrinologist there in Tallahassee for about as long as I worked, and his name is Dr. Terry Shiretta, and his wife Sarah.
Wow. In respect for this particular festival now, Chain of Parks Art Festival has sort of come into its own, in my humble view, over the last maybe 5-6 years. It's always been, in my mind, it's always been sort of the crown. You know, it's the real, crown jewel of the festival season in Tallahassee. As you know, Jim, you have to kind of play your cards as well as you can to find those weekends that are favorable, you know, where things are not 98 degrees, 98% humidity kind of stuff, or freezing cold or whatever. So it's a challenge, but it happens then that March, April, May end up being our sort of festival season. I'm sure that's true for a lot of places, but it happens that Chain of Parks then has emerged as this tremendous showcase of what Tallahassee is all about. There's just so much locality to it, and there's so much that has come about even in more recent years that's very inclusive. You know, there's a lot of music and food and, you know, local artists. And then comes this acknowledgement, the accolades have been pretty stout, where they're recognized among the top 3 or 4 or 5 every year. I think a couple of years they were the number one art festival in the country as rated by artists in attendance. So this is a big deal, isn't it?
It's a great size. It's extremely well managed. You enjoy talking to your partners in crime and in art in the other tent. And along those lines, I would like to say something to all the artists out there. Hang in there. We're not at the end of this pandemic, but we're going to get there. And I hope to speak fervently and passionately for every artist with this opportunity that I have as the artist of the year, the guest artist, the person who gets that tent with 4,000 helium balloons.
Absolutely.
We're all going to make it through this.
Yes, we will.
Hal has done a great job. Kelly, everybody's there, and I'm looking forward to the workshop on the 15th.
We're looking forward to having you. He is the 2021 cover artist for this year's Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival. Jim Sheridan is our guest. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jim Sheridan and Powell Kreese. Wow. You talk about emerging from the heartbreak and the heartburn of a 2020. The stories never end, do they, Jim? We just, when you talk about businesses and schools and public services and everything, it's just been upside down. But then come the festivals, these large-scale events that don't just get muted, they just get stopped. And for Lemoyne, I mean, Lemoyne looks to this festival every year. It's a big deal for them on a lot of levels. It's a big deal for Tallahassee and for the region and even then for the country, but it means a loss of revenue for this organization that for years has seen this as one of their biggest fundraisers, and it remains. So let me throw that to Powell real quickly. Don't even want to talk about last year.
Oh, God, no.
Please, yeah. So let's talk about where we are today. You're hopeful, I would imagine, that this is going to be a rebirth of some kind or a restatement?
Yes, I mean, it will certainly look different than how people have attended it in the past. We are limited attendance. We do have to have free ticketing so that people have certain shifts and times where they can come, and there's a whole wristband system. So it definitely will look different, but we're still going to have live music and local food trucks and amazing fine artists. We've got over 110 that will be there. Mm. We've just had to rearrange things a bit so that we're spaced out and everybody's wearing their mask and everybody feels comfortable and safe, because our artists are desperate to get in front of patrons, but we also want to keep them safe and we want to make sure that they feel comfortable. So it's been give and take of trying to figure out how to make a festival that encourages people to come but also feel comfortable.
Right. Huge juggling act. Like the festival itself wasn't already this major undertaking. And Jim, you mentioned it earlier. Kudos to Kelly Dozier and her team. I mean, these people are heroic in a lot of ways. Would you agree?
Of course I would agree, and they are one of thousands of people who run nonprofits working their way through the tunnels of this COVID. They're trying something on, see if it works, working with the local government to make sure everything is CDC approved. And I would be disappointed again, because, and again, I know I'm carrying my own voice here, Brian and Pal, but there are so many, especially me living in Nashville, I have so many visual artist friends and high cotton musician friends who have become better gardeners and probably better parents and bike riders more often, but because there's nothing to do. And it reminds us with this effort that Powell and Kelly and that team is putting into this festival, it reminds us how we are all connected.
Yes.
And we are in the 21st century screen saturated society. but we have flesh and bone. We're breathing the same air. We are connected, and we caught this together. We will sweep it out the door together.
Interesting.
And I'll do my.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, Jim. Because when you talk in terms of us breathing the same air, immediately we're being challenged, even in that simple rudimentary connection, which is in and of itself reads like a Greek tragedy, you know, or maybe it's Shakespearean in some respects. The very thing that we indeed want to share and do share as a basis of our common humanity, and even that's being challenged. And yet, to your point, look at this. Look at these people who say, no, we're pursuing this. We're persisting in this. And Jim, you're right in there as one of them.
Trying to be safe, trying to do it all, remembering this is as deep as I'll get, Brian. Not only are we breathing the same air today, we have been breathing the same air for thousands of years. It's the same air here on this planet. Mm. We're breathing the same air that the Parisians sucked in and out in Paris in the 20s. We're breathing the same air from the Civil War. We're breathing the same air from the landing in Jamestown, your grandfather coming over. We're all breathing the same air.
Yes,
sometimes
indeed.
It's a little bit dirty. But I'm an artist. But it seems like we were due for something to happen. Mm. And the microbe is so powerful. It will indeed have the final word. But for this weekend, chin up, being safe, following the rules. I've got my really good masks, and I am looking so forward to coming down there to Tallahassee.
Well, we're looking forward. Yeah, we're looking forward to having you. And I think your point is well taken, that celebration of any kind in the face of otherwise heartbreaking circumstances maybe even makes that more poignant, right? So when you see the folks gathering out there on the streets for a birthday party and they can't attend the kid's birthday party, but he stands on the side and everybody parades by in their vehicles. I mean, there's this resolve, I guess, in all of us. And Tallahassee is thick with that. I've experienced it. I've been here 40 years. And you got a lot of people like Powell and like Kelly and yourself who say, no, this is what we do. And we may not be able to do it the way we always like to do it or as much as we want to do it, but we're doing this. We should also point out, for Powell's sake, that if you are in earnest and you want to attend, Powell, you mentioned this earlier, it is a ticketed, it's a free ticket, mm-hmm. but it is a ticketed event in order to help us with the management of those in attendance. And to get those tickets, they go to the website, correct?
Correct. Yes, the city was kind enough to let us have a festival, but it has to be very limited. So we have a certain amount of people that can attend. So there's a free ticket available on our website. It's really easy to fill out. And you just show up with it printed or on your phone, and you go through the gate, you get your wristband, and you get to enjoy some amazing art outside.
So are those tickets now available?
Yes.
Okay. So we go to chainofparks.com.
Mm-hmm.
See, even I can remember that.
Yeah.
That's very clever. Jim, have you got that? Chainofparks.com. Just saying, in case, you know, on your way down, you know, you're flying in and you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I don't think I got my ticket yet. Chainofparks.com. We have Jim Sheridan. Almost did it. Sheridan, like Aladdin. Thank you, Jim. And he is the celebrated 2021 cover artist. We talked a little bit about his works. I got to brag on you a little bit here, Jim. In 2005, Sheridan returned to carving his own woodcuts. And then continuing that work, it led him to Hatch show print over 30 years earlier. 6 years later, he began creating wooden quilts and paper quilts the subsequent year. For these works of art, the artist readily cuts up his own printed pieces, mixing and matching them on single and multi-dimensional surfaces. So I think if I did the math right, you've been doing this kind of work for the last, was it 160 years or just 60 years? I've forgotten now.
It's 260 years minus that time where I dropped out and worked in a health food restaurant. Basically have been doing this about the same amount of time since you got to Tallahassee. I started in 1980 or 81. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I have not stopped since then.
It's all a blur now. Folks, we're talking with Jim Sheridan. He is the 2021 cover artist for the Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival coming up April 18 and 19 with all kinds of things. Did I say that wrong? It's April 17 and 18th. Sorry, Powell just had a heart attack. 17 and 18th of April, but there's stuff going on prior to that. We're going to talk with more about that here in the next segment, so you stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year, and the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking about Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival coming up April 17th and 18th. Lots of other goodies in store as well prior to those dates. Now, that's the weekend, 17th and 18th. But things really start to kick off on the 9th of April and continue then through the week, including a workshop with our guest here, Jim Sheridan. Jim, tell us a little bit about the workshop experience. I think there's a few slots open if people want to participate in that. Tell us about it.
Thanks for asking, Brian. It's going to be the 15th of April, and Powell can confirm all of this, but I believe it's going to be in that back courtyard where at the Lemoyne building. I'm going to bring a small press. We're going to cut our own blocks, a simple carving, and then a more in-depth carving with the theme being balance of nature found in design. And another way to say that would be the balance of design found in nature. And again, that reaches out to a touchstone of our human experience. A lot of my inspiration comes from, a fancy way to say it would be the individualization of utilitarian items. And so a simple way to say that is you make what you use. Think saddlebags, Native American, think Oriental rugs, think Moroccan tiles. And we're going to get back to that. Everybody's going to bring in a pattern, something that is balanced of design, found in nature. We'll cut that on simple Sintra. It's a breeze to cut, get everybody's confidence up. We'll print those before lunch, and then we'll hit the linoleum and do more in-depth pieces, hoping to mix and match the artwork, just like I do with my own quilts, do some quick watercoloring, in essence, try to teach. And I love teaching. I've been doing workshops. I think the first one was 1993. So I got it down. And the success of the workshops are always based on the caliber and quality of the attendees. But the idea is to show them how I do it, so that they can go home and do it themselves. And let me think. If I embarrass myself and say every workshop has the four C's, of a quality gathering. It would be community, comedy, courtesy, and creativity.
Nice. Yes,
those are the four C's of the workshop.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that. In fact, I may quote you on that.
I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay. As Jim's telling us about this workshop opportunity, and man, it sounds pretty nifty.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few slots left available for those who'd like to participate. How do they do that?
There are. So there's a section on our website, chainofparks.com, called Artist Workshops.
Okay.
And there you can select a ticket. We have, I think, 15 left.
Right.
And it'll be out in our back gardens. You know, with the COVID, trying to figure out how to plan for a festival, we wanted to expand a little bit and make sure we could offer some kind of artistic experience for everyone in the community.
Nice.
If they weren't comfortable coming to the festival, at least we were offering something for them to do, and we're hoping that we can continue to do the workshops, because I think they'll be really fun.
Well, kudos to you in that you've got one of the best in his field, this guy, Jim Sheridan.
I'm actually very upset I can't take the workshop.
Well, kind of feeling that way myself, you know? So, gee, Jim. I don't know. We're just hoping we can... I just want to see the guy. You know, I want to walk up to him and look at him and just bask in his greatness.
Well, you can.
I appreciate your low standards.
Well, I'm quoting here from some of those things I've read about you, Jim. Published in Garden and Gun, Fine Art Connoisseur, Nashville Arts Magazine, Nashville Interiors, our own Tallahassee Democrat, The Tennessean, and Condé Nast Traveler. And some of the folks that you've done works for, including B.B. King, Neil Young, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, it doesn't get any better.
Powell takes care of that for both of us, trust me.
I think so, yeah. She's plugged in. Powell knows what's going on, and a fine example of Tallahassee's best, in my humble opinion.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm reading here from an article that was in Garden and Gun, and the title of the article is A Nashville Printer's Lasting Impressions. And when he is quoted here in the article, Jim says, let me back up just a little bit. And it says one of his favorite creations is a piece he created using a 1965 Elvis Presley print from the shop's collection. He said, I put Elvis on a cross with words ascending or descending embossed on the wood. And then goes on to say, it tells the story of his rise to fame, being treated as a holy icon, as well as a commentary on his drug addiction that inevitably killed him. So, Jim, you're not afraid of stepping into a contemporary arena and making some kind of comment with your work. That speaks well of you, I think.
That's an interesting piece that you brought up. I called that, the Triple Elvis. And he was always fond of saying, you know, I put out more gospel records than I had rock and roll records. And the idea, you know, the idea when I was at the shop was to individualize those wood blocks and photo plates that were created for basic entertainers, you know, for the movie down the street. And believe me, we did thousands of posters for Tallahassee all over Florida. So in that context, when I finally handed in my keys, I knew that carving my own blocks, creating new artwork, color and contrast, balance of design, I had finally a good foundation. When I walked into that shop, I did not know what color was, and I did learn that. And that's why some people call my artwork quilts on steroids. I'm up in Kansas in a Swedish village, matter of fact, 40 pieces. And so proud I got a cover story in my own hometown newspaper.
But
the director quoted the artist, quilts on steroids. We will not ask that of the workshop attendees, but I will bring some a lot of artwork that is easy on the eyes that will keep your eyes busy.
We are looking forward to it, my friend. Jim Sheridan, our guest this morning, along with Powell Kreese, for this year's 2021 LeMoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, coming up April 17 and 18. I got to get that memorized. April 17 and 18. You got to go online and get your tickets now. Be sure you go to chainofparks.com at your earliest opportunity, because tickets are limited. Folks, it's been a pleasure having both of you with us today. Powell Kreese, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jim Sheridan, waiting for your amazing arrival in Tallahassee. We will have those 2,000 helium balloons standing or floating by, sort of.
Thank you, and I promise I'll hide that ankle bracelet. You won't even see it.
I appreciate that. We do have security issues here in Tallahassee. Thanks so much, folks. That's what we have for you here at the moment. We're going to come back after the top of the hour. You stay in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online at any time, tallahasseetalks.com, whereupon you will discover an amazingly robust archive of conversations we've had now in our 10th season. In all those 10 years that have transpired, we've talked with thousands of folks from around the region, mostly here in Tallahassee, of course. People like Tim Center, he's going to be with us here in this second hour. Tim's a remarkable guy, and he's been busy at work for many years running the Capital Area Community Action Agency. Important to get the word action in there, as you'll hear in my misstatements about that with Tim. But he's a good sport and smart. And when you listen to his conversation with me, you find out that he's pretty realistic, I guess you'd say, or practical, that if we're spending money and we're spending tax dollars, your money, my money, to help folks, somewhere in that line of thinking, shouldn't we find solutions or programs or provisions for those we are intent upon serving that have some kind of empirical evidence, some kind of track record? And so when he first arrived many years ago as the director over there, he said, look, we need to have in place a program or programs that have demonstrated their robustness, their abilities, their outcomes that say we can serve this population of folks that are looking in our direction more efficiently, more effectively. And one of the biggest challenges is to help folks in that situation, those who oftentimes are referred to as Alice people, the Alice population. It's unfortunate, I suppose, that we rely on, you know, meaningless acronyms, but Alice means asset limited, income constrained, employed. Short terms, it means working poor. Both mom and dad working, doing their best to bring it together, keep food on the table, keep the kids housed and clothed. But man, it's a daily, daily, week by week struggle. So here comes Tim Center and the Capital Area Agency, Capital Area Action Agency, with the idea that we can help these folks do better. And remember, I've said this to you many times, that Leon County, tragically, is identified as the most income entrenched across the country, which simply means that if you're born here, the likelihood that you're going to make more money than your parents is the lowest in the country. Wow. And that's simply based on the analysis of census data. It's what's called a panel study. You look at the aggregate numbers across the period of time involved and across the population, and you do the math. And then they do that same comparison. They take the folks that they're talking about in this region, Leon County particularly, and compare with other communities. And so it turns out that Leon County comes in as the most income entrenched. So the capital city area, I don't know what they're called, Capital Area Community Action Agency, sorry, Tim, is on the front line. And in fact, the war on poverty, as it was identified back during the LBJ administration, well, I think you're going to hear Tim say this, you know, we've lost the war on poverty. That's him saying it, not me. But in their valiant effort to try to trudge onward, here comes this program that they've initiated. And one of the fundamentals to that is to get people acquainted with things like balancing your checkbook, under opening up a checking account. Now, in the Frenchtown area, you've got a financial services center down there that was designed specifically for that opportunity. So you can go in there, and if you've never opened a checking account in your life, there's a chance for you to do so in a very relaxed, friendly, supportive environment. That's a good thing. All right, then comes the kind of 26-week program that this agency is offering. And Tim will tell you, we're going to take these people through a six-month program. And in that, we're going to find ways in which they can improve upon their life skills and in such manner become more familiar with, we'll call it a upper income or higher income environment. Doesn't mean necessarily they have to change jobs, although it may mean that they're better at managing the money they have, or it in fact may lead to other employment that would provide them better income. So that's the whole thing coming up with Tim Center. Meanwhile, I've said this to you earlier in today's show, and I'll probably say it a few more times over the next several weeks. Our Tallahassee Food Challenge is on, and we kick this off at the beginning of April each year. It is a cooperative effort between our broadcast here, our program, Tallahassee Talks, Tallahassee Family Magazine, TFM, Moose Magnificat, our radio station, and Capstan Marketing that does all of the marketing work for us. All of this comes together under the sponsorship of our presenting sponsor, Gain Street Pies, which again, as they have for many years, they stand in the gap on this stuff. So Jeremy Matlow and his company, Gain Street Pies, providing us sponsorship dollars. Those dollars are used to purchase all of the marketing and advertising. Our message is real simple. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, and feed the hungry. In other words, hunger doesn't go away, doesn't take a holiday just because you and I don't see it. Oftentimes, we're victims of that ourselves. It's invisible in plain sight. The person that you work with at your office or in your place of employment, they may be in that situation, and you don't know it. And they're not going to talk about it. But they're the ones that are running scared many times, trying to figure out how to get from day to day, wondering, will my kids have anything to eat today or tomorrow morning? So by supporting local food charities, you make it possible for them to do their work while people like Tim Center and his team are working to on the other end to try to solve the long-term problem. We've got to do both. We got to change the narrative in this community so that we're not recognized as the one county in the entire state that is the most or among the top food scarcity counties, food scarcity, food deserts. In other words, not having available food to the various residents that we're talking about. Yeah, Tallahassee leads that, the top of that list. It's remarkable. The state capital with the reputation of being the leader in food scarcity. I mean, that's non sequitur. It makes no sense. We have an opportunity with this food challenge to keep that message alive. Keep going. Share it with your friends. The next time you have an opportunity, share the link. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have Tim Center here this morning, the Executive Director for Capital Area Community Agency in Tallahassee. How are you, Mr. Center?
I'm well, but it's Capital Area Community Action Agency.
Oh, Action Agency. I left out the action.
How can you leave out the action?
You can't leave out the action.
That's what makes me a superhero.
We got to have action. Well, and with that, we'll talk about some of the action that this here agency does with all of the various programs and the people they serve. Now, we've talked at length before. Tim's been on the show, of course, and one of our faves, and he has done a good job, I think, in helping us get a grasp of some of that. And I remember particularly when you arrived on the scene, the first question, or one of the first questions was, what sort of research-based, outcome-based programs do we have in place?
Right.
And the question, or the answer was, right. Not much.
50 years of fighting poverty and the Great Society effort, and we really don't have a lot to show for it in terms of proven programs by themselves.
Yeah.
There's been some great successes, but it's just nothing out there. And when we found one of them that has worked really well.
And you have, and in that way, you've been able to directly tap into the lives of people who otherwise find themselves disenfranchised and sort of not knowing what to do.
That's right. That's right. You know, our getting ahead in a just getting by world, not our program, but it's a program that we've brought into the community. And now we've gone through three waves of the class. It's about 3 months long, 2 hours each week with a group of folks who sit around a table working through a workbook together, having conversations, not a lecture process.
Right.
And the difference is night and day from the beginning of the program to the end of the program with these folks who sit there at the beginning of the day and of the program will say, if you were to ask them, you know, what do you need? Mm-hmm. They might say, I need a job. And that's about all they can because they're dealing with the tyranny of the moment. They are being beaten down by crisis after crisis in their lives, and they cannot see for the life of them the horizon because they're just dealing with everything they're dealing with. And at the end of this entire thing, we will have asked that same question, what do you need? And they will tell you, my family, we would love to be in a single-family home or a safe apartment And this side of town, we would like, I'd like to have a career that involves sales because I really like working with people, or I'd like to be a teacher. Or I would like, it's not about a job, it's about a career now. And they have a totally different perspective. The crises are still there in their life, but they have now begun to understand how to cope and how to deal with these issues. And then we're going to be in a position then to hopefully help them realize their future story. And I'll give you a quick example. The research basis is out there. It's been implemented in hundreds of communities around the country. But we had a program for several years that was very effective with homeless families. Where the shelter, if a family showed up at the shelter, they separate men from the women. They separate kids from their parents sometimes. And what we were very effective at was this issue of we will find a home for the homeless family, keeping them intact.
Wow.
Now, the value proposition was that we won't only do that. We will actually get them into our self-sufficiency program so that this will be prevented in the future. This won't happen again to them.
Yeah.
The reality was we would solve 100% of their problems regarding the housing, but literally only 3% of them we could get enrolled in the self-sufficiency program to help prevent this. Because once the crisis is taken over and taken care of, they're now moving on to deal with the next crisis.
Hmm.
We had the first two classes of our Getting Ahead program, and we had 65% of those people coming out of Getting Ahead moving into our self-sufficiency program, 3% to 65%. And that's because now they're mentally prepared for what the steps would be necessary for them to make that transformation. And that number would have been higher, but we had about 12% of those folks who actually got jobs while they were in the Getting Ahead program, making them income ineligible for the program, which is exactly what we're trying to do to begin with. And so 75% success rate, going from 3% to 75% success rate. And it's phenomenal. I mean, we were just looking at our numbers in Jefferson County, for example. Mm-hmm. First class, we had three people from Jefferson County in that class. Those three people now have never come back to us for services. They are income ineligible. They've got jobs. They've got a career. They're moving forward. The next class, we had six people out of Jefferson County in that class. Six of those people are independent, on their own,
that's
not coming back.
Cool.
In fact, two of them come back every now and then to drop in to say, how are you doing?
Wow.
As opposed to,
what can you do for me? Yeah.
And we just had graduations in McCulloch County and Jefferson County and Leon County and Calhoun and Liberty County and Gadsden County as well.
Yeah.
And we are hoping that we have, we've done a good job of preparing them for what's going to take would be necessary those next steps.
Yeah.
And we're doing open enrollment right now because we will be kicking off our new program. The next wave of classes will start actually in the second week of October.
Awesome.
And so it's exciting.
What do you think when you hear people say the government has no business trying to support individuals that are just it's endemic. You know, they'll never, ever get off of the payroll, the public payroll.
I just came back, Brian, from a conference in Washington, D.C., where the purpose of the conference was to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Great Society's War on Poverty, the creation of the Department of Economic Opportunity at the time that was headed up by Sergeant Shriver under the Johnson administration. Yeah. And they showed a documentary that had been filmed in 1967 that had a then must have been a maybe a 25 or 26 year old Billy Graham, who was working in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina area, the Appalachians go in that direction. But it truly having a conversation with Sergeant Shriver with these exact same questions in 1967. You know, what about the people that just keep coming back? What about the folks who won't apply themselves? What about the – and those issues have been with us this entire time.
Yeah.
And it just looks more and more challenging if you think we constantly are going to face with it. But the reality is that there are great programs that government can provide that can help a person develop.
Yeah.
And just public education is probably the easiest one to identify. And so for other folks, there might be a little bit of extra effort that's necessary. And if the program is designed so that the person can develop themselves, you know, it's not giving the person the fish, it's teaching the person the fish.
Yeah.
If we can get to that stage, I think you find a lot of support for that
yeah.
from the resource community and the unresourced community, because that's the American dream, right? Our own personal efforts and hard work and a little bit of help from friends.
We're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency in Tallahassee. Did I do that right?
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. A mouthful and a very interesting acronym, but the point is, this is a bureau or an agency that grew out of the whole efforts made back in the mid-60s. Yep. The Great Society, the War on Poverty, the Johnson administration, and here we are some, I don't know, 50 or better years later, yeah. trying to implement that. You got involved as the director and said, okay, well, how do we intervene in a very practical, very specific way, and let's produce some outcome here that we can step back and go, is this really working? Well, gosh, it has. It is working. And when I think of that, you know, it reminds me, and you may know this young lady, Aretha Jones. Hmm. She is the director of the community, or I guess it's called the Neighborhood Health Centers. There are 7 clinics, okay, 4 in Leon County, 3 in Gadsden County, Havana particularly. Get this. Aretha Jones grew up in Havana picking peas for her grandmother, who lived in a very impoverished situation, not unlike most of her friends and neighbors, who went to school saying to her grandmother, how come all the other kids have all these things and I don't? How come all of our friends and neighbors live in little tiny shacks with dirt floors?
Yeah.
This was her world. So when she's in high school, she resolves, I'm going to do something with myself. Her then boyfriend, soon to be fiance, they get married. He joins the Air Force. They travel the world. And when it comes time for them to settle and raise a family, they both decide to come back to their home in Gadsden County. Puts herself through school, gets her master's in nursing. And now she's the executive director, and her mission is to build these facilities and provide these services aimed at homeless and impoverished people.
Phenomenal.
It That's is incredible. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Our own Mother Teresa at this point.
Absolutely right. Gwen Robinson, who's the director for Gadsden Arts Center over there in Quincy, mm-hmm. we talked about how do you liberate people from the slave mentality. You know, we talk about slavery in its history. 150 years ago, Leon County, 75% of the population was enslaved.
Mm. Wow.
51% of Gaston County was enslaved.
Wow.
It's not a long time ago.
Right.
What's insidious is the mindset.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talk about this particular program, and it's just one program.
Yeah.
You've targeted, you've zeroed in on that slavery of the mind that says, Brian, you can do differently. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live this way, and we'll help you get there.
Yeah, you know, helping people understand a different paradigm is possible is perhaps one of the greatest things you can do for a person. And my wife and I, when our daughter was 3 years old, we asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, literally, in her entire worldview as a three-year-old child, she looked at the ceiling for a moment and said, a brand new pencil, with a big smile on her face. And we looked at each other like, oh my gosh, you know, are we depriving our child of resources? And, you know, that's what she wanted. And so she got plenty of them for that Christmas. But when she was 4 years old, we asked her the same question, and she said, I would like an iPod Touch. and her worldview, her perspective in life had changed, and we exposed her to a lot. Huh. And to enable her to understand there could be more.
Her expectations.
Right, yeah. Could be broadened. Now, for many of folks, they only know so much, right? And they've only seen so much, and they understand that's how life works. And so, therefore, they don't think about what the difference is. And going back to that tyranny of the moment, they can't see the horizon for the waves that keep pushing them and pounding them back onto the surf and onto the sand, because they can't get above it all. So that issue of you know, for her to have that self-awareness, which is really what we're helping. We're creating self-awareness. We're empowering people to understand this is their life. These are their decisions. Letting them understand they can take personal responsibility for what's going on. And also at the same time explaining to them, you know, society's got some weird rules out there in a variety of different things, socioeconomic class and clubs and organizations and middle class values versus poverty values. Mm. And here's how life kind of works a little bit more, things that we kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
But somebody had to teach us which spoon and fork to use at the fancy restaurant, you know, and when you begin to learn these things, this getting ahead is not about etiquette, but just as an analogy there.
Right, right.
But the idea is, you know, giving people the resources to understand what's going on enables them to, a year later, or in this case, you know, 16 weeks later, say, you know, I'd like a career. I'd like a job. I'd like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, and I find that interesting too, in as much as you've said this, a big part of what you do is to help folks better understand, and maybe for the first time, embrace the rules that govern, we'll call it white-collar work versus blue collar work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go out, I dig a ditch. You told me to dig the ditch. I did it. And now you want me to dig it again. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But in a professional setting, in an office setting, in a business setting where I've been asked to write a memo or some sort of document I needed to compose, it's subject to review and editing. So then for that individual who's not used to that sort of scrutiny,
right,
they have to realize that's just part of how it works.
This is how life is. And they don't want to be disrespected or felt like they're being disrespected, because it's to them, it's the only thing they've got going for them. And so if you take the time to go through that and explain to them why certain typos can't be permitted to leave the office on a thing, and they begin to understand, they begin to be very respected.
Yeah.
They get to buy in. They get to feel like they're part of the organization. And all of a sudden, you've got probably a win-win situation.
You know, in our business, we find it remarkable that the interns who work with us, granted, they are students, but one of the biggest challenges we find is in helping them create and compose and assemble. And in a marketing agency like ours, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And they find it a bit, uncomfortable. And I suppose none of us really like it, but I noticed that if we evaluate the work they've turned out and we ask for another revision, and it may be three or four revisions, they don't like it.
Nope.
They want to be able to turn something out and say, hey, I did it. What's the problem?
Right.
And move on.
Right. And it's one of my favorite lines, of course, is I would have written, I would have been more brief if I had had more time.
Exactly. Right.
One of my favorite on that, and I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but Kissinger was evidently an amazing editor. And he had, there was a young analyst who wrote a paper for him,
yeah,
and gave it to him to review. He gets it back the next day from Kissinger with just the simple note across it: "Is this the best you can do?" And the guy looks back, re-edits it, reworks it, brings it back to him. Next day, gets it back from Kissinger: "Is this the best you can do?" And then finally hand delivers it to Kissinger, and Kissinger just looks at it and goes, "Is this the best you can do?" And the guy says, "Yeah." He goes, "Good, I'll read it now." So that opportunity to, you can appreciate that a lot of folks, you know, that initial effort is probably not exactly always the best part.
Well, we're having fun here. We're talking with Tim Center. He's the Executive Director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. This is an organization devoted to lifting us up, lifting up people, helping them acquire a better place in the economic world as well as among us in this community. And we are pleased to have him with us. You stay right where you are. We've got a great show here lined up. Tim's going to stay with us through the hour. You stay right where you are. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The 21st Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming up Saturday and Sunday, April 17 and 18, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fine art from over 100 national artists. Keeping the health and safety of the community a top priority, this year's festival will be a free limited ticket event that will follow safety protocols. The Chain of Parks Art Festival, April 17 and 18, located downtown along Park Avenue. Presented by Mad Dog Construction, City of Tallahassee, Leon County Visit Tallahassee, and CRA. Secure your ticket now and learn more at chainofparks.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at MahanAnimalClinic.com or call 402-0557.
We are back and talking about Capital Area Community Action Agency, and Tim Center has joined us, their executive director. How long have you been with this organization now?
I was just thinking about it the other day. It's coming up on basically 2.5 years. Yeah. And I started formally as the executive director on June 1 of 2012.
Yeah.
And it's been I came in about the same time that Mark Baldino came in at Eldercare.
Yeah.
Mark's doing tremendous work over there. And I am trying to just hold on to his.
Trying to be like Mark when you grow up.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know,
I have several people like that in my life.
He's so impressive. And there's so much good work being done by so many different agencies. You know, the amazing thing is that for the first year or so, we really try to, in this agency, with my team, who are phenomenal people who care so much about the population that we're working with, trying to make sure we're delivering a good product, right? For the customer, which is the federal government that technically funds us. That's our customer, because your customer is who pays you.
Yeah.
We are trying very hard to deliver a very good product to that customer. And our product is are the folks that we work with.
Yeah.
The reality is that after we got those programs and we get those systems aligned properly, it's at that time that we do these kind of conversations where we go out and we start talking to people. So just yesterday with the Bradfordville Kiwanis Club, I'm sitting with a group of folks from different walks of life, all middle class, if not better. And we were having a conversation about poverty, people that couldn't probably afford to be in that restaurant, people that might do certain services for the people in that room, but it's a topic that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And that's really where we need to be now. We now need to be...
Why don't we talk about it?
One, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk about them. How do we help them? And also because the issues have become so politicized that the only way that we talk about how do you help them is by destroying us. How do you help the resourced without destroying how do you help the unresourced without destroying the resourced? And
I mean, so we're talking about redistribution.
Well, I think that's what we automatically think is going to be the case.
Yeah.
And you know, even Paul Ryan, who is has a new book out that talks specifically about welfare reform and what's the right way of doing this? He admits that at the beginning he used to talk about makers and takers.
Yeah.
And somebody came up and said, who's a taker? Is that a veteran who comes back and gets benefits? Is it the senior who's paid into Social Security who wants to get that? Is it the person who needs to get disability? Mm-hmm. And the reality is he had it all wrong. He realized that. And so I think we have these conversations more than I think we're better able to understand how we can help. I do want to say one other really big thing and why I think the conversation becomes so critical. If 22% of our population is living in poverty, 19,000 for a family of three, that's that's a quarter of your population. All right, well, I can probably live with that.
Yeah.
There is, however, a different group that's right above that line, and that group is called, we would probably call them the working poor. Even the people in poverty, 60% of them have had a job at some point in the past mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to figure out how to get by. But there's another group of the working poor. A lot of us are probably in that. That's the person who is living paycheck to paycheck. It's the person who is asset limited, AL, income constrained. So their job is not paying very much. Employed,
mm-hmm.
or ALICE is the acronym for this population.
Mm-hmm.
When you take and you add that population to that 22% of our population living in poverty, you're going to be up to about 45% total of the population.
Nearly half.
Nearly half. And when that immediately puts us in, we're a 50-50 country at this point in dealing with the issues of the haves and have-nots. And therefore, the haves, the conversation, worried about that, how do you help them without destroying the haves, the conversation becomes, why is this now important to me? Well, it's because these are your neighbors. We are only as strong as the weakest amongst us. And if we want to have a really healthy economy, if we want to have more clients for your marketing firm, if we want to have more customers in the bank, if we want to have people that can afford to go into a restaurant and have a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
it's in our best interest to get these people mm-hmm. into the economy and let them become contributing members of society.
It seems to me, too, that the work you're doing isn't crisis oriented. You know, we have had those periods in our history, the Great Depression, even in our time, the Great Recession, I suppose it's been dubbed, in which government steps up in a manner that is intervening, is very directed and very focused on putting out the fire, right?
You're stemming the tide. You're
right.
The finger in the dike.
But that's not your role here. It seems to me this is an ongoing effort that is really about reshaping and opening up past those crisis moments, we'll call it culturally or economically at large, and then targeting specifically within this ALICE group, the working poor, and saying, how do you better yourself? How do you move into a place where those things that you can't do because you're so strapped are now better available to you, huh?
Yeah, I wish that was the case, Brian. I wish we were really only known for that, the back end thing of helping lift people out. The reality is that with $9 million of operational funding covering Jefferson County all the way over to Gulf County, we're serving 13 to 14,000 people annually with that crisis moment. That moment where they can't pay their light bill, and they're going to come in and we're going to cover that expense for them. And that's great. We're able to help in that crisis, but it's
it keeps you bound to that as well.
Well, it's in that moment of crisis that hopefully if we can stabilize them enough, we are then permitted to then talk to them about getting ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And are you interested in this? The greatest thing is right now, Brian, we put the Getting Ahead workbook on our desks. Our staff desks. So people are sitting there, and while they're sitting there, we've had clients who just pick the book up and go, what is this? Tell me about this. They'll flip through and we kind of explain it to them and go, I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big, a bailout program where we're paying people and everything like that, and we're offering to pay the rent and all this stuff to be in the Getting Ahead program. It's like, here, this is what this program does for you.
There is a promise there.
What you get out of this. And people, you know, it's nice to see. It's not for everybody in crisis, right? Some people in crisis can't ever get out of crisis. They can't even understand and fathom what that would be.
But I really wanted to get at some of your perspective, too, on where we are going nationally. And we've been beset with the tragedies going on in places like Ferguson, and thinking about some of the racial tensions that seem to continue to plague us. What's your take on that?
You know, we're even in our own community right now, there have been tremendous conversations about the issue of gun violence in Tallahassee. There's conversations, I'm sure, either directly stated or indirectly implying that race is perhaps an issue, much like Ferguson, it became an issue of race, it seems like, and that's really what flared up. And again, it's the these are very difficult conversations to have. And we are hoping that, I know from my perspective, is I hope that our leaders, both civic and elected, will choose to hopefully engage the community in a meaningful manner that permits us to avoid what happened in Ferguson in terms of the riots and things in a constructive way. They have an entire effort right now looking at the issues of gun violence and the violent ratio of what we have right now in Tallahassee, second only to Miami, evidently, according to some statistics. And I'm glad to see that there are people in the faith community and civic leaders and elected officials and you that you're inclined to begin participating and talking.
A very helpful conversation. Tim Center, the Executive Director for Capital Area Community Action Agency, our guest this morning. Thank you, Mr. Center, for being with us.
Brian, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Very much appreciate the work of Tim Center and his team over there. Folks, this is what we do for you every week. We're glad that you're a part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. Share it with a friend, moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.